Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Complete Works of Karl Marx in the Grapevine Edition gathers key writings that shaped modern political economy, socialist theory, and radical critiques of capitalism. While no single volume can capture every text attributed to Marx, this compilation format typically centers on major milestones: the programmatic clarity of the Communist Manifesto, the exploratory notebooks of the Grundrisse, the polemical argumentation of the Poverty of Philosophy, and related essays that connect philosophy, history, and economics. Across these works, Marx develops a method for analyzing society through material conditions, class relations, and the dynamics of production and exchange. Readers encounter both broad historical claims and close analysis of wages, value, and exploitation, alongside reflections on ideology and political power. The collection is often approached not as a step-by-step self-help guide, but as a foundational library for understanding debates about inequality, labor, markets, and the state that continue to influence academia and activism today. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, historical materialism and the engine of social change. A central thread running through Marx's major writings is the claim that the structure of society is best understood through its material organization, how people produce necessities, how work is divided, and how surplus is controlled. Rather than treating politics or ideas as the primary drivers of history, Marx emphasizes the way economic arrangements shape institutions, culture, and law. This approach is often summarized as historical materialism, a method that interprets social change as emerging from tensions between productive forces and relations of production. As technology, productivity, and economic scale develop, older social relations can become constraining, producing conflict and transformation. In this framework, class struggle is not merely a moral story about rich and poor, but an ongoing contest over control of production, distribution, and social power. The Communist Manifesto popularizes this view by presenting modern history as a sequence of class antagonisms and by describing the revolutionary effects of capitalist development. Across the collection, readers see how Marx uses this method to link everyday economic realities to large-scale historical transitions, and how he argues that stability is often temporary because the economy continually generates new contradictions that press for political resolution. Secondly, capitalism's dynamics, commodities, value, and exploitation. Marx's critique of capitalism focuses on how the system organizes production through commodities and markets, and on what happens when labor itself becomes a commodity. In this view, the wage relationship is not simply a fair exchange of pay for effort, it is a social arrangement that can conceal how profits arise. Marx analyzes value, exchange, and the role of labor to argue that surplus is extracted through the production process, not created by clever trade alone. His broader aim is to show how capitalist competition pressures firms to expand, cut costs, and intensify labor, creating recurring patterns of crisis and inequality. In works like The Grundrisse, he experiments with concepts and outlines lines of argument that later became central to his mature economic critique, including the drive toward accumulation and the transformation of social life by market logic. Readers also encounter the idea that capitalism is historically distinctive. It unleashes productivity and innovation while simultaneously producing instability, concentration of wealth, and precariousness for workers. The importance of this topic in a collected edition is that it offers both an accessible overview and a more technical set of tools for analyzing contemporary issues such as wage stagnation, automation, and the global search for cheaper labor. Thirdly, ideology, power, and the role of the state. Another major topic is how power is maintained not only through coercion, but also through ideas, norms, and institutional routines that make a social order appear natural. Marx argues that dominant economic interests tend to shape the prevailing worldview, influencing education, media, religion, and political debate. This does not mean people are incapable of critical thought, but it highlights that consciousness is formed within social conditions and that certain perspectives are rewarded while others are marginalized. Within this analysis, the state is not treated as a neutral referee standing above society. It is often portrayed as embedded in class relations, enforcing property rights and stabilizing conditions for accumulation. The Communist Manifesto presents a provocative version of this claim, linking political power to the interests of the dominant class, while other writings explore the mechanisms through which legitimacy is built and dissent is managed. For readers, this topic provides a framework for interpreting why reforms can be difficult, why some crises lead to change while others are absorbed, and how political language can mask underlying economic conflicts. It also helps explain Marx's emphasis on collective organization. If ideology and institutions reproduce the system, then overcoming them requires more than individual moral choices. Fourthly, critique and debate. Marx as a polemicist and theorist. Marx's influence is partly due to his willingness to engage opponents directly, refining his positions through critique. The poverty of philosophy is emblematic of this mode. It is a forceful argument against rival approaches to economics and social reform, and it illustrates how Marx distinguishes his analysis from proposals that aim to soften capitalism without transforming its core relations. In polemical writing, he insists that good intentions or abstract moral appeals are insufficient if they ignore the structural logic of markets, wages, and property. This argumentative style matters because it shows Marx not just as a visionary, but as a participant in intense 19th-century debates about socialism, political economy, and the direction of modernity. Readers benefit from seeing how he constructs an argument, defining terms, challenging assumptions, and connecting theoretical claims to historical development. At the same time, the compilation invites critical engagement with Marx's own blind spots and contested predictions. Studying his debates can sharpen the reader's ability to evaluate present-day arguments about regulation, redistribution, and social ownership. Even when one disagrees with his conclusions, the discipline of tracing his reasoning helps clarify what is at stake in economic claims and what kinds of evidence and logic are required to defend them. Lastly, revolution, organization, and visions of post-capitalist society, a recurring theme across Marx's major works, is the question of what it would take to move beyond capitalism and what could plausibly replace it. Marx does not offer a simple blueprint, and many readers are surprised by how often he emphasizes analysis of existing conditions over detailed utopian design. Still, the texts outline core ideas that a different society would require changes in ownership and control of production, new forms of democratic organization, and a transformation in how work and social surplus are organized. The Communist Manifesto, in particular, links historical analysis to political strategy, emphasizing the formation of class consciousness, collective action, and the necessity of organized movements. The Grundriss adds a more speculative dimension, pondering how technological development might reduce necessary labor time and expand the possibility of freedom beyond mere survival. This topic is important because it frames Marx's work as both diagnostic and strategic. He is not only explaining capitalism's problems, but also arguing that its internal pressures generate political openings for systemic change. For contemporary readers, this section of Marx's thought raises practical questions about parties, unions, social movements, and democratic control, as well as ethical questions about violence, transition, and the balance between reform and rupture. In conclusion, this collection is best suited for readers who want to understand the foundations of Marxist analysis, from primary sources, students in political theory, sociology, history, and economics. Activists seeking a deeper grasp of capitalist dynamics, and curious general readers, it can benefit a reader's life by providing a rigorous framework for interpreting work, wages, inflation, inequality, and political messaging, helping them connect personal experiences to broader structures rather than viewing them as isolated failures or successes. Compared with many modern summaries, a compilation of Marx's major writings offers the advantage of intellectual transparency. Readers can evaluate his claims directly, see how his ideas evolve across different texts, and distinguish between Marx's arguments and later interpretations. It is also worth buying relative to similar introductions because it combines iconic, accessible pieces like the Communist Manifesto with more exploratory material such as the Grundriss and sharper debates. If approached slowly, with supplemental context, the book functions as a lasting reference library for ongoing conversations about capitalism, democracy, and social change. If you would like to support Karl Marx, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.